Five, four, three, two, one.
What's the situation, Captain?
This is Situation Fluxus, a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Let us dig into the headlines. Saxophonist Javon Jackson has been nominated for an NAACP Image Award in the Outstanding Jazz Album Instrumental category for his 2022 release, The Gospel, According to Nikki Giovanni. The 54th annual NAACP Image Awards will take place on February 25th at 8 p.m. EST on BET. Jackson and poet and activist Giovanni will be returning to the studio in February to record their next album, Javon and Nikki, to be released in June on the Solid Jackson record label distributed by Megaforce Records. For more information, naacpimageawards.net. Pianist and Berklee College of Music educator Laszlo Gardoni performs at the David Friend Recital Hall at Berklee College of Music in Boston, Massachusetts, tonight, Thursday, January 26, 7:30 p.m., in support of his Sunnyside release, Close Connection. For more information, college.berklee.edu. Pianist John Coward and the Mercy Project perform at Parker Jazz Club in Austin, Texas, tonight, 7:30 p.m. CST. For more information, parkerjazzclub.com. The group Galactic, with special guest saxophonist James Carter, continue their run at the Blue Note Jazz Club in New York City through Saturday, January 28th. And later that night, on the 28th, trumpeter Nicholas Payton with Black Dynamite and Marcus Machado. For more information, bluenotejazz.com. Juno Award-winning guitarist and oud player Gordon Gradina and his quartet, The Marrow, begin their North American tour, during which they'll record a new album, this Saturday, January 28th, in British Columbia, Canada, and finish at New Blue in New York City on Sunday, February 5th. For more information, gordongradina.bandcamp.com. An evening with saxophonist Branford Marcellus at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall tomorrow night, Friday, January 27th, 7:30 p.m. For more information, troymusichall.org. This Friday and Saturday night, January 27th and 28th at the Jazz Forum in Tarrytown, New York, bassist Buster Williams and Something More for two sets. And on Sunday, January 29th, vocalist Ami Allen fronting a rhythm section also for two sets. For more information, jazzformarts.org. The Arts for Art winter events continue with multidisciplined artist Joe Wood Brown's Dreaming Woman at 5 Miles in Brooklyn, New York, this Saturday, January 28th, featuring soprano saxophonist Sam Newsom, bassist William Parker, vocalist Ellen Christie, and movement artist Patricia Nicholson. For more information, artsforart.org. And vibraphonist Jason Marcellus and his quartet perform at Cumbua Jazz in Santa Cruz, California, on Monday, January 30th, in tribute to Lionel Hampton. For more information, cumbuajazz.org. And now for new and upcoming releases. Three releases out tomorrow: saxophonist Lakeisha Benjamin's Phoenix on Whirlwind Recordings, trombonist Phil Ranlin, and saxophonist Wendell Harrison's Jazz is Dead 16 on Jazz is Dead, and East Axis's No Subject on a collaborative effort by Brother Mister and Mack Avenue Music Group. Drummer Sebastian Rockford and pianist Kit Downs, A Short Story on ECM. Saxophonist Rainer Witzel and keyboardist Ricky Bierak's self-release The World Within, and drummer Jay Lawrence's Payin' My Dues on Jazz Hang. All news items have been gathered from various media sources. For the latest updates, contact the source, venue, or business. Remember, I'm just the messenger. And now for some music. Brooklyn-born pianist Richie Bierak and his quintet collaborate with German saxophonist Rainer Witzel on their new self-release, The World Within, that came out on January 20th. This is the tune, Blue Trees. Before this, produced by Mark Free with his goal, quote, to present a series of focused and concise performances to create maximum enjoyment, the Positone Records release of this month, Personal Preference, featuring a sextet of talented composers. We heard Flyover Country, written by the tenor saxophonist on the release, Willie Morris. And from the new Consolidated Artist Productions album titled Through the Lens by pianist and composer Faulkner Evans, we listened to Closeness, Desire. This is the follow-up to his 2021 solo debut, Invisible Words. This release came out on January 20th. You're listening to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Please send your comments, quips, and anecdotes, as well as feedback to thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com. For more information about the show, jazzfluxus.com. My interview is with Indianapolis, Indiana-based bassoonist, saxophonist, educator, owner of Ortwine Woodwinds, and assistant principal bassoonist and contrabassoonist of the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra, Mark Ortwine. His latest release, It Was Time, on Terra Voce, came out on January 6th. So, Mark, I want to thank you for joining me here on Situation Fluxus.
Oh, glad to be here.
It Was Time was conceived with another soon-to-be-released album during the pandemic. Do you consider this release a comfortable landing spot at this point in your career and a springboard to more recordings under your name?
Oh, definitely. That's the name of the title. It Was Time is way over time. So what I should have named it. I do lots and lots of recording sessions. I record like Disney on Ice shows. If you ever seen one of those, I'm the guy playing a lot of the low winds, and even the last one I'm playing like full sax checks and stuff and sax solos, and record for a lot of publishing companies and a lot of albums and Christian artists and all sorts of things. But I had never done my own jazz CD, partly because I'm just so busy and I play full time in the Indianapolis Symphony as well, bassoon, which it's just tons of practice time. We have different music every week, so it's just nonstop preparing and making reads, and I'm playing jazz gigs and rock gigs and Latin gigs, and I teach at a university, and so I'm busy all the time, and the pandemic really was really blessing in a way because it slowed me down. I didn't have to go play four or five concerts every week. I got busy with the recording projects, and I recorded a jazz album and a classical album. So I've got both of them finished. And, one of my big inspirations is Michael Brecker. It's probably one of my favorite players for, you know, Coltrane and Cannonball for sure. But Michael Brecker. And when I heard that he had, you know, he's on thousands and thousands of recordings, including Brecker Brothers and all sorts of stuff. But his own solo album, the Michael Brecker album, very first one, he was 40 years old when he did that. So when I heard that, I was like, wow, that's just crazy to me. So
it's never too late, right?
Right, exactly. And there's so many great players around that are doing what I'm doing. And just, you're so busy that it's hard to, you know, sit down and write tunes for one thing, and then put together groups and recording sessions and, you know, really get busy to do your own thing.
Yeah. Now, this is a wild mix of, as you describe it, lively Latin, nostalgic, laid back, trippy, and funky music. And I can hear you stretching out on whatever instrument you've got in your hand, whether it's a bass clarinet or tenor sax, baritone sax, bassoon. Is this release the beast that has been waiting to be unleashed?
I mean, in a way, so I didn't want to do just let's say a jazz quartet album where I go in with the same rhythm section and record all the same sonically, you know, all the tunes sounding the same in a way. So, you know, the fact that I do play all these different things, I really wanted to put that in there. So the Dominican piano player Pavel, I play with him. And so I actually had written this Latin tune several years ago, but I'd always done it with jazz piano players, and it was just like never quite right. So it's like, man, I got to record this with Pavel playing, you know. And so the thing just came to life. It's exactly okay. That's exactly what I've always wanted this tune to be. So that's one. A friend of mine won the Voice, NBC's Voice, Josh Kaufman, and I had been playing with him about the year before he won the Voice. I've been playing tons of gigs with him. So I wanted to put one pop tune on the album. And I said, man, I got to do this one tune, the Bonnie Raitt tune. I've always loved that tune, the I Can't Make You Love Me. And Josh just kills it. He just sounds amazing on it. So I did an arrangement where I open it with a woodwind, flute, clarinet, bass clarinet, and bassoon that I all overdubbed. And then it goes into me with a piano player. And then Josh comes in with a rhythm section, and just like, oh, just, it turned out so, so well. And then me playing kind of pop alto on top of that. And my guitar player, asked him to write a tune. He wrote a real, real nice swing tune. My son's playing bass on the album. He was living in New Orleans, making his living playing bass and guitar up until the pandemic. And then kind of everything shut down for him. So he's back in the Midwest currently. But so I asked him to write a tune. He wrote a funk tune that kind of goes metal at the end. So I've got five different drummers on this album. So like that kind of is like, man, I got to get this friend of mine, Johnny Concannon, who's like a great metal drummer, and he plays great. He's been touring with Debbie Gibson, funny enough, lately. But so I got him on that cut, and a couple other friends. I picked different people for different tunes, you know? So it is, it's a big mix, but you know, hopefully it works. Listen to all together. A friend of mine was listening to the album, and he put it on, and like first tunes, you know, it's jazz tune that I wrote, just great harmonic tune, kind of more ballady, I guess. And then it kind of goes a little fast section in the middle, but then the second tune's that Latin cut. And then the third tune's the pop cut. And he said, he had it on in the background or whatever in his house. And when that tune came on, it's like, what happened? Did somebody turn the radio on? Cause it's like completely different all of a sudden, like this pop cut. But you know, that's what I've been doing for years and years and years. I grew up in Las Vegas. My teachers were playing with people like Frank Sinatra, and you know, they had to play every style,
right?
You know, good swing players, they good flute and clarinet players. And, you know, could sit in symphony too, and, you know, enough classical background. I want to put a little bit of everything into this first album.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to the composition that your son wrote, Bigfoot, because I want to ask you, what is an electric bassoon?
Right. So I've been doing this for years. I went to school in, well, New Orleans for a while, and then Boston, and I was in this avant-garde big band in Boston, with John Medeski was playing in that band from Medeski, Martin and Wood, you know, and Donnie McCaslin, who's one of the big name tenor players, Rob Sheps and some other great guys. But I was playing Barry Sachs and bassoon. Well, I got a electric pickup on it, largely to be louder because the bassoons doesn't project as well. So it's hard to compete in a, you know, jazz type thing. So I've been doing it for a long, long time. But I really got into the different modules and guitar pedals, things like that, especially the past 10 years. I have another band called Rock E Bassoon, and we do like Led Zeppelin and Metallica and even like the Beatles and Beyonce, Aretha Franklin, tunes from everything. So there's six of us all electrified and a rock drummer. So we can really, you can really sound like almost anything, but I do a lot, most of the rock guitar solos and a lot of the lead vocal parts. So, you know, I adjust my sounds to try to do that. So I've been doing it for quite a while. So this Bigfoot tune, it's a funk tune. So I think on tenor too, I do use a little bit of the wah sound. And I'm using like a distortion, you know, so it sounds, if you just listen to it, not knowing, you might think it's
a guitar,
rock guitar solo, but then it's not quite the same because it's not, it's a bassoon. I've been doing more and more of that lately. Even for the NBA, I did the national anthem three times last year for the Pacers and Celtics, and I think 76ers and maybe Sacramento, but, twice I got to do electric bassoon for the national anthem, and it blew people's minds because I kind of start out normal and then I hit the distortion pedal, and you know, and then I have a bunch of other pedals with different things I can do, these big two octave sweeps and kind of Eddie Van Halen stuff. So it turns it into a whole different thing. And the bassoon is a very cool instrument. It has a big range, you know, obviously it's big, you know, if you don't know what a bassoon is, look it up. I can play super low, and it actually has a pretty good high range too. So it's suited pretty well to go through the pedals. There's a lot of stuff you can do with it.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking of the two tunes in particular, of course, from Peter and the Wolf, the bassoon solo. And I'm thinking of the Smokey Robinson and the Miracles tune, Tears of a Clown.
Oh yeah. I've had to play that.
Yeah.
Concerts. Yeah, that was recorded in Detroit. I think the principal of Detroit Symphony at the time did a lot of those recordings.
Wow.
So he's the one on that one. Yeah.
You're a wild man, Mark. You're a wild man. For someone who gigs in different ensembles of different musical genres, it's not unbelievable that you double on the single reed saxophone and double reed bassoon, as well as being adept at playing the other, you know, bassoons and saxophones and flute, except oboe and English horn. I know that about you.
Right.
Before you attended Loyola University in New Orleans, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Were you already proficient in playing saxophone and bassoon?
Yeah. So I started on piano, you know, when I was like 8 or something, but I took up bassoon or saxophone first in like 6th grade. I was sure to be a trumpet player, funny enough. And I went to a music camp. I got to try all the instruments. And then I was like, nope, I'm going to play the saxophone. So that's, and I just loved it. Just really loved it. So I just played saxophone and added some other instruments here and there. But then it wasn't until high school that I added the bassoon. But I kept taking lessons on both and practicing both a lot. And then in New Orleans, I was a double major, jazz sax and classical bassoon, basically. And then went to school in Boston after that. And there was in school, I was just classical bassoon in Boston. But I was playing in the avant-garde big band, and I started doing more the like a Broadway type shows, mm-hmm. doing the doubling. And then after that, I moved to New York City and was playing, subbing on some Broadway shows and, you know, some orchestras and jazz bands, all just all sorts of stuff. Big mix of stuff.
You know, you're a well-traveled soul. You've been through Montana, Nevada, Louisiana, Massachusetts, New York, mm-hmm. Ohio, Chicago. You traveled with the U.S. Air Force Band.
Yep. I was in the Air Force Band for 8 years.
What was the deciding factor in making Indianapolis, Indiana, your present home?
That was strictly the job. I won the symphony job. It was a full-time symphony. So, yeah, that's the reason why I moved here. And it's been unbelievable for me musically. I walked into tons of recording session work, which I had no idea was here. Again, I record all the Disney and Ice things, these published companies, and we've even done some movie stuff. I've gotten to do some John Williams recordings, including the highlight of my career is playing with John Williams, playing his saxophone concerto with Pittsburgh Symphony, with him conducting. Mm. So, and I was the second guy to ever do it because I did the demo recording of it, and he heard and hired me to do that. So, yeah, it's been great for me. It's really been a big career booster to getting to do all this recording in addition to my full-time symphony job as well. Mm. And all the different opportunities in town to play all the different types of music.
And all the cool folks you meet along the way.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I play with so many people. It's crazy. You know, some are like kind of one-offs. Like I played with Ray Charles, but I didn't get to meet him because his people kind of keep you away from him. Even though my best friend, who's actually on the album, Kenny Rampton, who plays in the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra. He's one of the trumpet players playing the section there with Marsalis. He's been my best friend since like junior high, and he was on Ray Charles' band for a couple of years, but even still, I couldn't get to see him. And I played like with Aretha Franklin and all these different people, like some just jazz fests where I was in, you know, in the big band that was backing her, things like that. But then I've done other touring with people too. So
cool. As well as being a professional musician and professor of bassoon at the University of Indianapolis, Mark. Mm-hmm. You own and operate Ortwine Woodwinds in Indiana.
Right.
One of the things that you sell is handcrafted accessories. What are they and what necessitated you selling them?
So, well, bassoon is a weird instrument. Like if you stand up playing bassoon, the balance point's all off. You know, saxophone is just designed so well. The saxophone, you know, it's like everything's right. You put the neck strap on, you stand up, and it feels right. Well, the bassoon is super top heavy because of the way it's mm-hmm. configured. So one of the things I designed was a balance hanger. So it hooks on the neck strap ring and it brings the balance point higher.
Okay.
So it goes high up. Then you put the neck strap there, so it makes the balance point right. It feels like saxophone. And there's been some other companies that have made this, but you have to drill holes into the bassoon and stuff. And I designed one where you don't have to do that. So huge benefit, you know, $50,000, $60,000 bassoon. You don't want to start drilling into if you don't have to.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm selling these things all over the world. And another couple other little things I've designed. And I've got a couple of distributors. One's in England. One of the big ones here, one in Australia. And then, of course, sell them on my own too. But so, yeah, just keep busy. You got to make money somehow in the music business. It's so hard to make money in music. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, most of the professional jazz musicians I know are, you know, teaching on the side, or the guys in New York they're playing the Broadway shows.
Yep.
Or, you know, unless you're, you know, certain people, and then, you know, Chris Potter or somebody, you know, one of the biggies. But then he's on the road all the time. One of my friends played John Coward. He's in Brian Blade's band and great, great piano player. He's on the road now, I think. If not now, he's leaving soon. All the time he's on the road. So, you know, it's tough to have a family life.
Yeah.
So that's one of the big reasons why I kind of went the classical world to make my living is, well, I'm playing concerts, but you know, two to eight concerts every single week, but I'm playing them all right here in my city. And any touring we do, you know, I might go to Carnegie Hall or different places, but you know, I can be home most of the time. So it's a big benefit for sure. Having the orchestral job.
Yeah. You revealed, Mark, in an interview that the three movement symphonic dances by composer Sergei Rachmaninoff is one of your favorite tunes to play. Do you have a favorite jazz tune that you enjoy performing?
Well, it certainly changes. Like right now, I love the Softly as the Morning Sunrise. Just love that tune. Lately been doing it, kind of opening it up, like getting almost like a free Coltrane vibe thing on it. And, yes, I just love playing that tune. Love the changes on it. It's the beginning's free enough, and then you have a bridge section. But you know, certain tunes, like let's say Giant Steps or something, it's like, man, it's just like so locked in to the chord changes that it's a lot of work for one thing to keep in the chord changes. But to be really creative with it, it's a little difficult. It's like you have to keep inside the changes a little bit more to sound. So I definitely like more modal tunes and like the minor blues, and where you can be a little more free and use more substitutions and things. And too, I love playing the rock music, and I love playing funk, and the Latin jazz is one of my favorite. I just love playing with the Latin band. And they usually give a lot of freedom, a lot of solo space for me.
So, Mark, as we come to the end of this interview, I want to give you the last word. Is there a question I didn't ask you? Is there something you'd like to tell us? Got an upcoming project? Sounds like you've always got an upcoming gig.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, tonight I've got a symphony concert. Tomorrow, symphony concert. Recording sessions on Monday. Back to the orchestra on Tuesday. But my classical album, actually, it's been done for a while, but it'll be out soon too. And there's some commissions I've had written for me, like a bassoon and string quartet piece. And I just performed that at Yale on a recital not long ago. There's some electric bassoon, electric contrabassoon on that album too, including improv and stuff and using looping pedals and different things. So again, it's pretty eclectic too. You know, I have, you know, some Mozart and Rossini and different things, and then and some Brazilian pieces, and then this new, some new stuff, some new pieces written for me.
That was my interview with Mark Ortwein. For more information, ortwinewoodwinds.com.
Thank you.
And time for one more. From pianist Jackie Warren, bassist Amy Shook, and drummer Sherry Miracle, known collectively as the 3D Jazz Trio, the tune Blues for GC, from their Diva Jazz release of this month, 9 to 5. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus, produced for and airing on WGXC, 90.7 FM, a listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I've been your host, Cheryl Kay. Tune in next Thursday at 10 a.m. for another show. I also host the Jazz Disturbance on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on WGXC, WGXC.org. For more information about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com or jazzfluxus.com. Thank you.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.